I'd like to start this Gospel by reading a passage of Scripture from Gospel according to Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 18 and verse 9. And he, that is Jesus, spoke also to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and made nothing of all the rest of men, this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee standing prayed thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, rapacious, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax gatherer. I fast twice in the week, I tithe everything I gain. And the tax gatherer, standing afar off, would not lift up even his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. I wanted to talk tonight about this thought of humbling. This parable speaks of two men. The first man is a Pharisee, and it says of this man, it said he prayed to himself. And you know, you look around and you see so much selfishness in the world, so many people wrapped up in their own lives, so many people who trust in themselves and everything that they can do. And it says here that this Pharisee, praying to himself, he looked around at others, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men. And you know, it's so easy to look around and to think you're better than other people. And you can always find someone that's done something worse than you. But you know, dear friend, tonight I have to tell you that you're a sinner. And you're just the same as everyone else. And in the eyes of God, it's all the same. In the scriptures it says, for all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, that is the first humbling thing to realize in your life experience. If you haven't realized already, that you're a sinner. And you know, as according to scripture, it's very clear. The recompense of sin is death. As sinners, we cannot be in God's presence. We're tainted by this thing called sin. And there's nothing that we can do to make that go away. And yes, this Pharisee, it says that he looked around and he saw others that were worse than he was. But I want you to think that right now, where you are, you're still a sinner. And it's a really humbling thing to realize. But there's an opportunity now. Because the mind of God is one of love. The mind of God is that he would bring souls to himself. And we see that the answer is in Jesus. You know, it says in Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have life eternal. You know, that's the mind of God. And the mind of God is love and peace, and would draw souls to himself through the work of Jesus Christ. The second man in this particular passage is a tax gatherer. The tax gatherer at the time was considered to be a very bad person, usually corrupt, usually taking money for themselves, usually taking too much money. And it was universally acknowledged that they were not good men. And it says here that this tax gatherer stood afar off, wouldn't lift up even his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. I would that you were like this man. To come into God's presence and to ask for forgiveness. To know that who you are is a sinful creature. But you know, thanks to the work of Jesus, we can come into a full enjoyment and into the presence of God, knowing that all sins have been dealt with on the cross. What a wondrous thing that is. To know that we've been cleansed, we've been made righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. To know that because Jesus has died for me, he shed his precious blood for me, that he lives now has been raised from the dead and is living and ascended, to know that all of this was done to secure me, because he loves me, because he cares about me. All the work has been done by Jesus. All the sin question has been dealt with, because God loves you, because Jesus loves you. But it's got to start with this thought. It's got to start with talking to God, and it's got to start with asking for forgiveness. Oh God, have compassion on me, the sinner. You know, the mind of God is indeed compassion. What love to send his only begotten Son here. What love Jesus has shown in dying on the cross. What love is available, you know, to the sinner. And you look around, so much uncertainty, so much worry in the world. No matter how good you are, how much faith you have in your own abilities, nothing can compare to the certainty and the knowledge of knowing that your everlasting soul is safe in eternity with Jesus. And I would that you would take this opportunity tonight, dear friend, right now, wherever you're sitting, whatever you're doing, take a moment, evaluate your life, and realize that a life with Jesus is a life in safety and security, knowing that your everlasting soul has been secured for himself. And you know, God answers these prayers. It says of the two thieves on the cross next to Jesus, it says one mocked and the other one, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And the response from Jesus was, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The response, you know, to a heart turning to Jesus, asking for forgiveness. Believe on him, that's all you have to do. And the response is immediate, because the work has been done at the cross. The other scripture I wanted to mention is in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and starting from verse 6. "Who," this is Jesus, "subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men, and having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross." You know, this scripture in Philippians is really precious because it speaks of Jesus humbling himself. Jesus is such a wonderful person to be speaking of, you know, because the name gives me so much joy, because it reminds me of what's been done for me. But this scripture speaks of the very nature, the very essence of who Jesus is. It speaks of the person of God. It speaks of how Jesus emptied himself and how he took a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men. I want you to understand that the person and work of Jesus is perfect. Everything about who Jesus is perfect. He is God. And as he walked here on this earth and as he dealt with people, as we read in the scriptures, we see the perfect way he dealt with man. And yet, every single step took him closer to the cross, until eventually we come to these words, "humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death." You know, I want you to think about what Jesus went through because of your sin. Because he took your sin and he took my sin on his shoulders, and he dealt with it when he died on the cross. And he dealt with it such that we could come into a relationship with him and with God. Because he loves you and he loves me. But because of your sin, it had to be dealt with first. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we have such a one as Jesus. Because Jesus sees you where you are, wherever you're sitting right now. And he's seen you and he loves you. And he loves you so, so much that he was willing to die for you. And it says to become obedient even unto death. Have you ever known such love as this, that someone was willing to die for you, to secure you, to make you safe, to secure your never dying soul, because that's the love that's on offer tonight. I want you to think of that humbling, that Jesus gave up his life for you, obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. You know, the crucifixion was one of man's most cruelest deaths imaginable. And this was the way that my Saviour went to secure my soul. Do you feel that love tonight? Would it affect your heart to know that there is love available, and there is love manifest at the cross, and that at the cross the sin question was dealt with? And the scripture goes on to speak of, also God highly exalted him and granted him a name, that which is above every name. I want you to know tonight that Jesus is risen and ascended. Because not only did Jesus die for me and for my sins, he's risen and he's conquered death and he's ascended and living at the right hand of God. And he's waiting, you know, tonight for you. He's waiting such that there is an opportunity now for you to turn to Jesus, to realize who he is and what he has done, and to come into a knowledge and truly believe that what he has done for you. What a thing it is to come into a personal relationship with Jesus. God wants you for himself. Jesus loves you. But you need to do something. And you need to come into a relationship with Jesus. You need to acknowledge him as God. You need to acknowledge the fact that he died for your sins. All you need to do is believe. And just like this man who went up to pray, it doesn't have to be a complicated thing you have to ask for. Just ask for forgiveness. Put your trust and put your faith in a living Saviour, the one who died for you, who shed his precious blood to save you. It speaks in the scripture that we read of, this man went home justified. The word justified is a wonderful thing. Someone once explained to me, justified means just as if I'd never sinned. What a wonderful thing it is to know that you've been cleansed, that all those sins have been taken away, removed from you completely and utterly by the work done at the cross. And now that you can come into a wonderful relationship with Jesus, enter into God's presence with thankfulness and joy in your heart, knowing that your soul is secured for eternity. I would that you would be like this man, to come into this knowledge and into this relationship, because that's the mind of God tonight, dear friend, that you would know him as Saviour, know him as Lord. It's a wonderful thing, but know that Jesus went this way for you. The last scripture I'd like to read is in the first epistle of Peter, in chapter 5. And verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the due time, having cast all your care upon him, for he cares about you. This scripture is the one that made me think most about the thought of humbling. Because verse 7, I'm sure many people are familiar with. Having cast all your care upon him, for he cares about you. When I first went to university, my aunt gave me a poster. And on this poster was this scripture, verse 7, having cast all your care upon him, for he cares about you. And it speaks of the wondrous mind of Christ, that love, that amazing compassion, that all throughout your life as a Christian, you would know the care and the love of him that has saved you. But the verse that precedes it, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. This is something that we are asked to do. As believers, you know, dear friend, we have to realize that God is over everything. He's over our lives. He's over everything that happens in the world. No matter what's happening in your life, know that if you've given your heart to Jesus, he's looking after you. And that no matter what happens around you, what happens with coronavirus, what happens with your job, what happens with everything. Know that everything is under the hand of God. But you must be subject to his will. Humbling yourselves means giving up your will. It means giving up control of your life and giving it to Jesus, because he has bought you with a price. You have been bought with a price. The price is precious blood. And because you've been secured, you are his and he is mine. What a wonderful thing it is to know that you've come under this protection. To know that all that care, all that worry that you might have, you can give to Jesus. Pray to him. Offer him all your concern, all your worry. And you can do that and you can leave it with him, because he cares about you. And if you don't know this, know that he died for you. Know that he died and bled for you. That's how much he cares about you. So whatever's happening, pray to him. Offer your thoughts and your concerns to Jesus, because that's what he desires, because you need a relationship with God. I would that you would take this on board, this thought of humbling yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The nature of God, you know, is pure love. You can see it in his beloved Son. You can see it in how Jesus gave his life. But know that he cares about you now. Please take this opportunity. Take a moment. Pray to God. And if you haven't already, put your faith and trust in him, knowing that all things have been dealt with at the cross. Trust in Jesus for his name's sake.